Okay, there you go. Welcome, everyone, to Redacted. On this show, we cover the stories that are redacted heavily, like the JFK files. Hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Exciting times, you guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, so we just got we're going to get to a lot of news here in a second. We're going to talk about the war in Ukraine, major developments there between Putin and President Trump speaking out about that. So we're going to talk about that in just seconds.
We're also going to talk about President Trump handing it to the World Economic Forum in Davos. We're going to show you their reaction when he told them, basically, all your policies are crap. We're doing this instead. They were like, yay. But we spent the whole week saying what we're going to do to people. It turns out they don't like it.
And we're also going to talk about the border battle. We're going to be joined by J.J. Carroll today to talk about all of these ICE roundups and what is happening at the southern border right now. A number of major ICE raids over the past 24 hours. So we're going to examine that. But first, let's talk about this breaking news. President Trump just moments ago signing an executive order declassifying the files related to the assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr. Now, he's now directed his Director of National Intelligence in the next 15 days to put together a plan for the release of these documents. What will that look like? Will they be heavily redacted? A lot of people posting online just a few minutes ago that they hope they're just not one of those pages that has black marks all the way through it, which is, by the way, how our show first started years ago, which is many of the stories we were covering here on the show had files that were heavily redacted. They're thus the name of our show. So will
we
want to
see what's underneath those redactions. Yeah. Absolutely, we do. I don't like the words plan to release. I just want it. It's been enough time.
But he orders it.
Just
so
give it to us.
I'm ordering the release of these. And by the way, over the past 24 hours, also kicked out the guy, revoked the security clearance of the guy, Mike Pompeo, the former head of the CIA, who, of course,
talked him out of it.
Talked him out of it. Stopped him from doing it.
Right. When he was asked on the campaign trail, you said during your first campaign that you would release the JFK files. Why didn't you do it? And he said, well, I just thought it wasn't quite time. And Mike Pompeo had an influence to talk me out of it. So he has no more influence. Let's see it.
So what will we see in these files?
Sure,
why would
the CIA try to keep him from releasing it? I mean, it's obviously nothing there.
Right, of course. So will we learn about, like, Roy Kellerman, Secret Service agent in the front seat of the car, who, if you look at my Twitter feed right now, I posted it on X. I'm Clayton Morris on X. You can go there. You can see, like, really the HD version of this now, of course. And so many people saying, of course, he was shot, you know, through the back. And of course, and then also from the front, in the front seat of the car, and the Secret Service agent who turned around and fired the gun at his face. So will we learn more about Roy Kellerman? Will we learn more about Jacob Rubenstein, a.k.a. Jack Ruby? You know, he changed his name to Jack Ruby. But Jacob Rubenstein, who, of course, shot Lee Harvey Oswald live on television. How did he get through security? So I'm curious how much of these pieces we will learn about in this file, how much of it will be redacted, what CIA relationships with the mob, what Mossad information from Israel, how all of this will come together in these files. It'd be fascinating.
Now, this is something Clayton has studied copiously for his whole life.
Yes.
This has been an obsession of Clayton's. So and it's also where we get the term conspiracy theory, when anybody who was questioning the narrative of the JFK assassination. Let me ask you, Clayton.
Well, finish that statement. Anyone who thought there was more than one shooter on that day, the CIA created the term conspiracy theorist to discredit those individuals. That term was born out of the CIA to paint those people as nut jobs.
I think in the year 2025, that is no longer a slander. You can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, and I will take it as a compliment, because those people seem to be right. And every conspiracy that we've leaned into ever since has pretty much been correct. So let me ask you, Clayton, given that you know this so well, would there be any reason to redact names in the year 2025? Is there anyone still alive? Is there anyone still exerting it? Who would be hurt by this besides possibly Mossad?
There's only like one person, I think, still alive. And so there's zero, to my mind, there's zero reason to redact these names. It just clearly puts the onus on this being a government conspiracy.
What if it was your uncle? Would that have any bearing on you?
No, I'd want to know if Uncle John was involved in the assassination of JFK. And I would want his name unredacted. Okay. Right there in the papers.
All right.
I mean, you know, there are descendants of people in America who've done absolutely horrible things.
Yeah.
Right? They've had to live with the legacy of their family having done awful things.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And my grandma says we were descendants of the Hatfields.
Okay. So there you go. Go ahead, Phil.
Imagine if they would have redacted all of the Nuremberg names. You know?
Right. Like, yeah.
There's no justice then.
So yeah, I think we move past that. I think we if you're the great granddaughter of Jack Rubenstein, who has some involvement in this, like I think that person's probably off the hook. But again, yeah, all of these people are dead, save like one person right now. And so are we really hanging on to this because only one? It's just to, you know, prevent it. And the way Pompeo has said it, it's just national security. That's the whole point of it. It's just national security. So,
and the thing is, like I feel like the CIA is trying to you know, like, keep themselves from getting embarrassed. They don't want people to know they lied about something, but nobody believes them anyway. Like, guess what?
Right.
We already know.
Yeah.
So, right.
So yeah, what is the consequence, I think, is what we need to continue this mental exercise because we don't have the documents.
Right.
Today.
What are we worried about? Are we worried about, like, the reputation of the CIA? Like, the CIA is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world. I mean, absolutely carries out coups and murders around the world, overthrowing governments. Look what they've done in Ukraine. The CIA-backed coup in Ukraine has led to the death of, you know, arguably over a million people. All of the regime change operations that the CIA is involved in throughout the Middle East.
But...
So what are we, like, are we worried about tarnishing the CIA's reputation?
Let's think about the converse, because we know that our government lies to us about copious projects. We know about the Manhattan Project now. We know about the Tuskegee Project. We know that there is involvement. We are pretty sure until we see the documents in, that the CIA was involved in the assassination of MLK and JFK and such. What if we have the truth? What if our government says, yes, we did this. We will not do it again. There is value in you being told the truth from your government. What will we do? Will you and I retire?
That'd be amazing. I would love to sleep in and not have to dig through all of the government's garbage on a regular basis. But I mean, you hope that this leads to some sort of a, you know, we know the Warren Commission was a total whitewashing and a joke. All you need to do is, by the way, go in and so, well, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
The 9/11 Commission.
The 9/11 Commission is crazy. The Warren Commission was an absolute joke, of course. All of it mostly debunked now, these stupid commissions. Could we have like a new commission that says like a full transparency commission? Because President Trump has vowed full transparency. Like, here we go. Full transparency now. Let's end this totally. And let's put this all out here for public discussion right now.
Yeah. Someone in the chat says, okay, I want this bundled with the Epstein list. Right. Obviously, there is public interest there. Give it to us.
Yeah. Obviously, Epstein was a Mossad agent and tied directly to Israel. So we'd love to see all that information as well. I mean, maybe Netanyahu's going to be really pissed about this because how many fingers are going to be pointing at Israel once these documents are released? Who knows? But there seems to be copious evidence for that. You know, one of the big pieces of this, not just JFK, of course, is RFK. RFK Jr. And, of course, the assassination attempts against RFK Jr., people trying to break into his house and attack him. He was asked, you know, why are so many people trying to kill you? It's because, you know, of what, you know, his father went through and his father being assassinated. Of course, they don't want any Kennedy there anymore, anybody who would point the fingers at the CIA. So RFK was asked about this and he explains in great detail why there's still so many questions about how his father was assassinated that day. Watch.
And my father was brought through the kitchen where he was not scheduled to go. And Sirhan fired two shots at my father. The first one hit Paul Schrade in the head. The second one hit a door jamb behind my father, the wooden frame of the door. Then he was grabbed by six men. And they pinned him against the steam table, and they took his gun hand, and they pushed it away from my father, pointing the opposite way. He then fired off six more shots and emptied the chamber, but exactly the opposite direction of my father, and all of those shots hit people. So we know what happened to every bullet in his gun, but the bullets that killed my father, according to Thomas Noguchi's autopsy report, Thomas Noguchi was the most important coroner in American history. My father was shot four times from behind, never from in front. One of the shots passed harmlessly through his shoulder pad. The other three, two lodged in his back. The other one was right behind his ear. And that in each case, They were contact shots, meaning the barrel of the gun was touching his skin or half an inch from it, and they left carbon tattoos. And they all had an upward angle so that whoever was doing it was standing behind my father and holding the gun, not directly at him like that, but at an angle where you could keep him closer.
So it was almost like...
And the guy who was in that position is a guy called Eugene Thane Cesar, and he was a security guard who was hired 2 days before. When my
2 days before. What about the individual who was
like
sitting
Michael
in the front
Jackson's
seat of the limousine
bodyguard
and shot Kennedy in the face? Was it the Secret Service agent Roy Kellerman who turned around and fired the gun? Again, look on my X page. You know, you can look at the HD videos now that have, and I think that's what they're scared of too. Now you have like the film and you have the HD renderings. You can see, you know, from the front seat shots. Is that the death shot? Who knows? Anyway, we hope we see more information in these files. You were saying Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson got a new bodyguard just before he died. Also, inexperienced dude.
Here, note
Do
to
not
self.
Change your bodyguards.
Yeah, 2 days before.
Well, you don't know when you went before what I'm going to die in 2 days.
That's true. My daughter, my 8-year-old last night, she asked me, I was putting her to bed. You know how kids randomly. And she says, Daddy, would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die? And I was like, oh, great. Now we're going to bed on this thought. Like, she just randomly came up with this. And I said, you know what? I would rather know how, so I could, you know, sort of plan. She's like, I'd rather know when, because then I could maybe change it. I said, I'd rather know how. Like, if I was killed by a tiger, like that, and I know there's a new tiger exhibit at the zoo, I'm probably going to avoid going to the zoo that day, you know, like, because I know I was mauled by a tiger.
Think about how awesome that would be if it's like, you're going to be mauled by a tiger. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to live on a boat. And then you're out on that boat. And then just like one day that tiger pops out and you're like, holy hell. I mean, that'd
how'd
be
that
awesome.
Happen?
Like the life surprise of pie.
Yeah, life exactly. of pie.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. We've got a lot more on this. So 15 days, President Trump has signed this executive order to direct his director of national intelligence to release these JFK files in 15 days, the MLK files and the RFK Jr. files in 15 days. Will they be heavily redacted? I don't know. I hope not. Fingers crossed.
I'm going to calendar invite you guys. You got to be here
when this happens.
And Clayton will not sleep the
entire
night. I will
not sleep. No, I'll be watching it. Yeah. So, all right. We got a lot of news to get to. Scott Ritter is going to join us in a moment because President Trump just dropped a bombshell just a few minutes ago, also on the Ukraine war and President Putin responding. So will we have a peace agreement in place very, very soon? And the coked up Zelensky, he is like scrambling right now because he knows he's about to be thrown out of office and would likely be arrested and tried for war crimes. So there's a whole lot going on with Ukraine. We're going to get there in a second with Scott. But first, our show today brought to you by our friends at Lear Capital. Gold prices surging, silver prices surging. That is because of Trump's moves towards opening up mining. And of course, the need for all these central banks to get as much gold and silver as they can right now, running record deficits, massive amounts of debt. So there's a lot to clean up. And President Trump speaking just a few minutes ago at Davos, specifically talking about lowering the taxes in the United States, business taxes down to 15% tax rate. I mean, game changer right now. So what do all the tariffs mean? He talked about Canada today as well. You know, if you're not going to get in shape, you will become a 51st state of the United States. So what will these Trump tariffs look like for the United States and these other countries? Will prices go up? Lear Capital has put together a free report on that specifically on the Trump tariffs right now and what this will do this coming year in 2025. Go to LearRedacted.com to grab that free guide or just get on the phone with them and call them right now. Write this 800 number down, 1-800-613-3557 for your free guide. And just speak with them. They're an American company. They're not based out of India. You're going to talk to an American company. These guys are patriots, and they will walk you through how to invest in gold and silver, plus give you that free guide as well. 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. Well, early this morning, Ukrainian terrorists launched American weapons at a school in Kherson, which, of course, was eastern Ukraine, is now Russian-held territory. It now is part of Russia. They targeted and hit children. They hit teachers on their way to school. 13 people hurt, including 3 children, 2 in critical condition, and 2 were killed. Reports suggest that these were American HIMARS weapons. Tell me if you've heard this story once before. Filled with banned cluster munitions, also banned. A few hours ago, President Trump said this war needs to end right now.
One thing very important, I really would like to be able to meet with President Putin soon and get that war ended. And that's not from the standpoint of economy or anything else. It's from the standpoint of millions of lives are being wasted.
So will there be peace? Let's ask former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter. Scott, welcome back to the show. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So President Trump in office now a couple of days has been pushing for, he says he's, you know, going to try, I think it seemed like try to strong arm President Putin with some sanctions, which seemed like a crazy idea. But it seems like President Putin, of course, has been wanting to come to the peace table for a long time now, even before all of this started. And it was scuttled by the United States and Boris Johnson. So do you think we're going to have peace? Some pretty forceful words from President Trump today that this thing needs to end right now. What do you think?
Well, first of all, President Trump isn't going to be the one to dictate the terms of peace. The terms of peace will be dictated by Russia. To the victor go the spoils, and Russia is winning this conflict. Putin has wanted peace for some time now. He didn't want this war. Remember, Putin sought the implementation of the Minsk Accords in his meeting with Joe Biden back in June of 2021. Biden promised to implement, to put pressure on Ukraine to implement, to work with France and Germany. But Blinken never either got the order or obeyed the order. We now have Blinken confessing that in September of 2021, he was secretly providing weapons to Ukraine at a time when he was supposed to be pushing for implementation of the Minsk Accords. Even when Russia recognized that the Minsk agreements were never going to be fulfilled, and they put forward draft treaties, you remember December 17th, 2021, the draft treaties provided to NATO and the United States seeking a new European security framework necessary to avoid war. This was ignored by the West. The special military operation was designed to get Ukraine to the negotiating table. It succeeded. There was the Istanbul communique ready to be turned into a treaty. Pressure from the West on Volodymyr Zelensky caused that to be scuttled. Putin this past June said he's ready to have peace, using the Istanbul communique as a framework, but it would have to be updated to take into account the present realities. Russia is ready for peace, but peace will only come when all of Russia's objectives are met. There cannot be peace if there isn't demilitarization. There cannot be peace if there isn't denazification. There cannot be peace unless Ukraine, by treaty, can never join NATO. And there cannot be peace unless Ukraine and the West recognize that Crimea and the four new territories of Novorossiya, Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk, and Lugansk are today and forever will be part of Russia. Anything less than this is a Russian defeat. And Putin, of course, will not bring this conflict to an end on terms that can be misconstrued as a Russian defeat, or not misconstrued, construed as a Russian defeat. If this war is to be brought to an end, it has to be done in a way that doesn't allow it to, rear its ugly head up in the next, in a couple years. Anything that allows this conflict to end now without resolving the underlying issues as defined by Russia will inevitably lead to a recurrence of this conflict. And next time it could be an even bigger conflict. So, if Trump wants peace, he's going to have to craft an agreement where Russia dictates the terms. Trump doesn't get to dictate. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. If you want to do it the hard way, you're the one that's going to pay the price, not Russia.
We've heard reports over the past few days that there are weapons shipments to Ukraine that have been halted by President Trump. That these are being held at NATO bases and not entering Ukraine, that being reported by Ukrainian journalists. If that is true, and it seems like it is, and then you have European weapons maybe still flowing in, it's unclear. Maybe you have some clarity on that. How long can Ukraine go on if U.S. weapons are not allowed to flow into that country?
It's interesting. Trump, course, put out the infamous tweet where he said, he talked about, we can do it the hard way, the sanctioning of Russia, et cetera. But at the same time he's doing that, if you remember, he gave a presentation after the election where he said that this war is because of NATO expansion into Ukraine. He recognizes the underlying cause of war. I need to point out that I was put on a Ukrainian death list because one of the crimes I was accused of was saying that the Ukrainian conflict is that Ukraine is a NATO proxy, that this is about NATO expansion. Well, we have a president of the United States that now clearly understands that to be the case. He reposted Jeffrey Sachs. Now, he did it in the context of Sachs' comments about Israel. But if you're going to repost Jeffrey Sachs, that implies that you have, you're familiar with the totality of his arguments. And Jeffrey Sachs has been very clear about, Russia's economy and how Russia has emerged from the post-conflict, the post-initiation of the special military operation with a stronger economy, one that is virtually sanctions-proof. And so his threats to impose sanctions also ring hollow. And we could go on and on. There's different, hints that Trump has put out there that he understands the reality of the situation. But, there's a lot of political posturing taking place right now. He has given General Kellogg, Keith Kellogg, his special envoy for the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, 100 days to come up with something. What's interesting about that 100 days, if you play it out, it falls roughly on May 9th, which is Victory Day, the 80th anniversary of Victory Day. And if Trump thinks that Putin is going to yield to American pressure on the 80th anniversary of the Russian victory over Nazi Germany, then Trump is truly an idiot. it's the worst possible time to put pressure on the Russians. But I think the opposite is the case. I think that Trump is looking for the possibility of a conclusion to this war by Victory Day. And one of the ways that can be done is by putting the pressure on Ukraine and on its European allies to embrace the reality this war is over. Trump signed the executive order putting a freeze on U.S. foreign aid. And many people said, well, that automatically applies to Ukraine. It doesn't. The Ukrainian money has already been dispersed. There's material in the pipeline. And plus, it's handled under different funding arrangements than the one that Trump froze. But if the reports are true, Trump has replaced the entire political leadership inside the Pentagon responsible for the arming of Ukraine. And when you eliminate the political civilian leadership, the military can do nothing. And so there is paralysis now. And as you indicated, if these reports are true, equipment is now stuck in bases and in waypoints inside Europe, not to go forward until a review is done. And a review may not be done for 100 days. At the same time, Trump has told Europe that you have to step up if you want America to play a role in the arming of Ukraine to stand up to Russia, then you need to chip in 5% GDP to your militaries. I don't think there's a nation that can meet that threshold, a significant nation. Germany can't meet it. France can't meet it. England can't meet it. Italy can't meet it. Nobody can meet it. And so it's a mission impossible for Europe to step up and replace the United States. And so I think you see the desperation. You saw Zelensky at Davos, the panic look. Reminds me of the movie Goodfellas near the end when Ray Liotta's character is looking in the sky, coked up big time. He's just snorting cocaine and he's all paranoid and everything. Zelensky is clearly under the influence of something. And I say that not as somebody who is seeking to score cheap points. He's clearly under the influence of something. And he's sniffing his nose, so I think we understand what the something is. And he is paranoid. He is ranting. He's speaking incoherently in a panicked way. He knows the end is near, that it's over for him. It's finished. He now has publicly acknowledged one of the conditions that Russia set forth in the Istanbul communique, which is the removal of Zelensky from power, that post-conflict Ukraine will not have Zelensky involved in politics. that Russia will dictate who the president will be. Russia has already named who they want to be replacing Zelensky. So this is the reality. And what we need now is for Trump. There has to be a mechanism for Trump to get to this reality in a way that doesn't damage him politically at home. This is why Trump is blustering, puffing out his chest, speaking big. And this is the challenge. But I think it's a challenge that can be met if and when he has his phone call with Vladimir Putin. I think Putin will make it quite clear that he wants peace, that he's moving towards peace. And I think he's more than happy to give President Trump credit for peace. But the peace will be on terms dictated by Russia, not imposed by the United States.
I'll get you out of here on this, Scott. Are you hopeful that we're approaching peace?
The United States, the problem is Donald Trump is not an expert on Russia. And he has surrounded himself with people who clearly aren't experts on Russia. You know, there was some hope in the lead up, you know, people might be able to indirectly influence Donald Trump. For instance, I had some success going through RFK Jr. And Donald Trump to get an op-ed, you know, help motivate an op-ed piece being published in The Hill calling for an end to the war and the prevention of nuclear war. There are people out there who are very smart on Russia who may be indirectly influencing Donald Trump. People like Axe, Douglas McGregor, and others. And political reasons, Trump is suppressing their input to give Keith Kellogg credence. The problem is that means I'm guessing, and I don't like to guess when I'm trying to make comments. I like to act on hard fact, you know, hard factually based information. I am optimistic because I do believe that Donald Trump wants to bring it into this conflict in a way that achieves stability in Europe, which is one of the cornerstones of the foundation that he's trying to build for what he thinks is the proper environment to make America great again, to get out of these endless wars. So I think his heart is in the right place. It's a very complicated issue, though, and if he stumbles, then Russia is not going to yield. Russia is not going to bend. Russia has entered a war of attrition for a reason. Not to allow Russians to die, only to give everything away back at the end. Russia did this because they want specific things achieved. And if Trump isn't willing to facilitate that, then Russia will see this war to the end. Russia's ready to go for another 2 or 3 years if necessary. And of course, if that's the case, then Trump would have to either put a lot of money in, Europe would end up, neither of those are going to happen. So it would be an embarrassment for the United States. And that leads to counterpunching and deterioration of relations. That's not the direction we need to go. So I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, but I'm also wary. I wish Trump had better experts on Russia advising him.
Ditto. Scott Ritter, great to see you. I'm glad to hear there's some hope in your voice. Thank you so much, Scott. Great to see you. Thanks, Scott. Scott, who had to deal with the FBI, of course, and was framed. Sorry.
If anybody was watching, we could still hear everything that was going on, but apparently towards the beginning of that, the audio cut off to the stream. But we have the recording of it. So I didn't want to stop you because you guys were, I could still hear you. Okay. So I knew it was still recording. So I'll just release that later. It should be fine.
So yes, yeah, please seek out the beginning of that interview.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, if you missed, if there was audio at the beginning missing, we will release the full thing later in case that you guys missed that.
I think as Americans, one thing is clear is that President Trump no longer has the appetite to open our wallet to continue to fund this war. So that at least is clear. And in fact, today, NATO head Mark Rutte urged the United States to please keep sending arms to Ukraine. But now he's promising that Europe will start to pay for it. I just wonder how he made that promise because he is not an EU leader. He heads NATO. How can he promise money out of European nations, out of the EU? He no longer is a member of the EU. NATO has several nations. Wait. Yeah.
So the US pays the weapon contractor to supply the weapons. So we buy the weapons from them, we send them to Ukraine, and then Europe buys them back from us or from the weapons contractor. I would be interested to see how much of that just is just a double dip into the
Yeah.
Into the budget. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's a total money laundering scheme, of course, that they wanted to keep running and going. And so, you know, if these weapons are sitting right now in NATO bases, not being shipped to Europe, you know, Trump today said, you know, forget the economy part of it. He said, forget the economic piece of this during his speech at Davos today. He said, there are millions of people that are being killed, young people being slaughtered in this war. He said, I've seen photos that it would make you sick to your stomach, you know, and so we need to end this. He said, forget the economic piece of this. He's like, you know, people are just being slaughtered. This needs to end right now.
Right.
So, yeah, he doesn't want to spend money on it, but he doesn't want the slaughtering either.
Yes, but then you see Chancellor Olaf Scholz from Germany and Emmanuel Macron from France both met today and said, well, now that the new administration has taken office in the U.S., it's more important than ever for Europeans to play their full part in consolidating a united, strong, and sovereign Europe. So what they're saying is, we're cool with the dying. We got to step up now. Joe Biden's gone. They're not going to handle this anymore. We got to put on our big boy pants and graduate from junior varsity. Do it ourselves. They can't. I don't know what they're smoking, thinking that they could or should, but that's the big game they're talking.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Davos.
Oh, someone in the chat says, do you not see the chat?
We see the chat.
Oh, I see the chat. Yeah, we see it. I just, when I'm in the middle of an interview, I'm trying to focus on my guest. So I'm not seeing, like, were you guys saying, oh, I see someone saying no sound. So, okay. Yeah, I think the team was watching that, so I didn't see it. But anyway, okay, thank you. No worries. We see the chat, though.
Well, President Trump participated in a virtual meeting at the Davos World Economic Forum and basically told them all that their globalist agenda is now non grata. In the United States, it was beautiful. We don't want this. Now, if you followed the World Economic Forum, as we have on this channel for several years now, you know that every year we go through their agenda and we're like, what's this? They're unelected. Why are they making these choices for us? Why are they deciding? The Davos agenda is usually a goldmine of treasure, showing that elites want you to live uncomfortably, live with less in the name of the ecology, but they want everything for themselves. It's clear, and we're going to show you this. So some of the other things that they promote on their panels, they promote war, censorship, shrinking global business with cumbersome regulatory policies, all in the name of the green agenda. President Trump spoke for about 40 minutes. He basically told the crowd, we're not about that anymore in the United States. And I just want you to watch how they applauded him.
Participants here in Davos, we really underline that joining us the third day in your presidency, live taking questions here, is so appreciated, and we are already ready for receiving you next year in person. So thank you very much, and all the best from Davos.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Watch the clapping. They're like,
yeah, they're like, wait a minute, he's going to come here and.
Yeah, okay. Some people did. Their
faces. Right to our faces.
Were not, tepid at best. So what was it that they were not happy to hear? We'll go through it one by one. And then later we're going to play you the full clip of it so you can see for yourself. But first of all, he said he's no longer about the Paris Climate Accord. In fact, one of his first executive orders was to withdraw from it. He said he's no longer going to participate in any green deals, which he called the green new scam. Well, that threw a wet blanket on this panel that they had earlier in the week talking about how we should have clean and green deals. Okay. We've been talking about this, but now he's just here to dump on it. He said he was not going to mandate electric vehicles and people will have a choice for what kind of vehicle that they will drive, which is really putting a damper on the EV market, which, again, they talked about at Davos. So there's another piss on that one. He also said that the U.S. has begun a revolution of common sense and touted his recent executive order to save free speech. Well, free speech is something that the Davos crowd does not like. Look at the panel they did last year. They blatantly admit in this panel explanation that your freedom causes disinformation and a dire environment for the press, communities, and educational system. So if you're free to express yourself, global power structures are threatened. That's what they talked about last year. Here's the version they did this year. Go ahead, Philip. Are you going to say something?
Oh, I would. I was just going to chime in really quick that along with that whole, like, their misinformation, they did include the word, even if it's true.
Yes. They want to. And so here you see they're still struggling with that, like, to moderate or not to moderate, because nothing that they have advocated moderating has been proven to be false. Pretty much nothing. Right. So all the conspiracy theories that they like to poop on have turned out to be true. So, again, this is something that they were talking about at the meeting. They had President Trump on the fourth day, and he's like, we hate that, too. And they're like, oh, well, we've been talking about how we like it. So what? Right? That's why this applause. He talked about how growing economies necessitates energy, which Davos panels also this year, they did focus on keeping up with energy rather than tamping down on energy demands. In years past, the panels have revolved around how to lessen the global appetite for energy. Well, obviously that makes people uncomfortable. That shrinks business. It's never them. They never say, like, oh, we want people to have less heat, but not us, right? It's always, you should plug in fewer things, Africa. So that may be progress, that at least this year it was about keeping up with energy demands, not asking people to live with less. The president discussed an end to discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion, which he called nonsense. Here is a panel he just pissed all over that they just had, investing in diversity. He was asked about the European Union regulations and basically told the whole room that they were an abomination for economic growth, which is a fact. He said that the only people who win from this are consultants. And he basically said, you shouldn't hire consultants. They just stop up business, which I did laugh out loud. I loved that. I bet there were a bunch of consultants in the room that were like, wait. We get paid millions of dollars to write reports that slow up progress. What are we going to do now? What's happening to our business? It seems the Davos crowd at least knows that this is part of their business model because of this panel. He said that he intends to lower the corporate tax rate for businesses that manufacture in the United States to 15%. This is a major reversal of the Biden administration. You may recall that early in the Biden administration, he made it his business to lecture other countries to stop what he called the race to the bottom. He basically exerted bullying on countries that wanted to have a low corporate tax rate to incentivize businesses. President Trump says, we're not going to do that, actually. What we're going to do is make ourselves more attractive to do business here. We're going to compete rather than bully. That's so interesting, right? He spoke out against the fines and lawsuits that have been slapped by the European Union on Facebook and Apple, and he called it an unfair tax. Now, recently, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg told Joe Rogan that the Biden administration was, quote, the tip of the spear attacking its own companies. President Trump is making it clear he will protect American companies abroad, so foreign leaders should think twice before attacking because Joe Biden let it happen. Totally fine. Attack our people. I'm cool with that. He told Bank of America they should stop unbanking conservatives. He blatantly said, quote, what you're doing is wrong. He said he was ready to work with Russia to end the war. We just discussed that with Scott Ritter. Recall that in the last 2 years, the Davos program advised businesses to exclude working with Russia, put pressure on China, how to deploy activism, even in the World Cup. We've shown you those panels. Here is how daft the WEF was on Russia. In 2023, they held this panel where they predicted the Russian economy would shrink by 6% because of the war and Western sanctions. It didn't. It, in fact, that year grew by 3.5%, and Russian sanctions went on to hurt the countries that placed the sanctions. Most likely, if you're watching this, you live in one of those countries and suffered as a result. Now, Davos is forced to admit this with this panel. They're saying the Russian economy is now the fourth largest economy in the world, but they say it's deteriorating. Why would anyone trust their analysis when 2 years ago they told us Russia would contract by 6%? Now they're saying, actually, Russia's the fourth biggest economy in the world. We didn't sanction them. We hurt ourselves.
Sanctioned the hell out of them, didn't we?
Look how much we made them suffer. And then Trump's threatening new sanctions on top of it. Like, how much more sanctions? Keep bringing on these sanctions. We'll get cozier with China. We'll develop more of our own minerals, expand our own military, and not send you any of our stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So trust them at your peril. But that's what they're doing. President Trump says he actually wants to do business with Russia and China and have no wars to get in the way. So that's a foreign concept to this Davos crowd. In a similar vein, Javier Milei, from the president of Argentina, had a similar sort of dismantling message for Davos. He spoke out about the radical transgender agenda that puts perverts in single-sex spaces with young girls. He talked about all mortals of the world who were sacrificed. He called them to the sacred call of freedom. I'm sorry, I butchered that quote. You should please watch it on your own. He also said that the woke mind virus is a global cancer that must be eradicated. The problem is that most people he was speaking to at that conference have that cancer. So what will they do now? I think we should send life support. Somebody go check on John Kerry. Now, President Trump doesn't speak in the clearest sound bites, so I tried to clip this up for you, and then I thought, you know what, just you listen to him yourself. So we're going to show you the entire Davos clip. You can watch the entire speech at Davos for yourself. We will edit this in later. So please seek this out on our channel so you can see not only my summary, but the president himself. One thing that I had forgotten about covering Trump as a journalist is he does not speak in good sound bites. It's a stream of consciousness, and it's really hard as a journalist to quote him.
Well, because often what he'll say something really important kind of off the top, and then he'll kind of, you know, he always kind of meanders off on a tangent about something that he just thought about in context. Well, that's another 2 minutes, and then he'll get to a point in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's a really important point. And then like 5 minutes later, he gets to a really good point at the end. So like if you want to sit through 17 minutes of that, or we could try to condense it. But that's so it's
incredibly
difficult.
Challenging for us. And we don't want to be guilty of what the mainstream press does, which is misquoting him. But there's blame to share in the fact that it's just harder to show you his quotes in context because it's a bit
can be a bit long.
It can be a bit of run on sentences.
Yeah. So watch the full thing. We'll put the whole thing there. You can watch the whole thing for yourself. It's worth watching. We watched the whole thing. It's really good.
Yeah. It's going to be a long 4 years for us trying to do that. We really don't want to misquote the president, but I believe that I was able to pull out the hits for you. So see for yourself and let us know, because I was applauding it less because I love Trump, more because I hate the globalists. And it was everything that I had hoped someone would say right to their snotty little faces. So I loved every minute of it. All right, we have more news to get to. What are we going to get to next, Clayton?
Are going to talk about ICE. We're going to talk about these border raids we're going to talk about all of that. But first,
we'd like to tell you about our show sponsor, which is Tax Network USA. Because if you are overwhelmed with back taxes or unfiled returns, get ready, because the IRS still has those extra 20,000 new enforcement agents proposing that millions pay up notices for 2025. So if you're worried about this, you should not face them alone. Tax Network USA is here to help. They are the nation's premier tax relief firm and then have negotiated over $1 billion in tax relief for their clients. Their service includes penalty forgiveness, hardship programs where you may not have to pay anything until your tax debt expires, and offer in-compromise solutions for lump sum settlements. Whether you own $10,000 or $10 million, their experts are ready to assist you. So right now, call them for a complimentary consultation at 1-800-958-1000 or head on over to tnusa.com/redacted. Don't let the IRS aggressive tactics control your life. Empower yourself with an advocate at Tax Network USA. That's tnusa.com/redacted.
All right. So people in the chat are saying, I don't have trouble following Trump. No, I don't either. I mean, but if you're, you know, like if it's a 17-minute soundbite, you can't follow him?
I can't. I literally can't listen to I have such like a linear thought process. Like, I mean, a long time ago, I dated a girl briefly that she had a stutter, and I couldn't do it because I could not, like, but with Trump, like, he's all over the place, and I can listen to him for half an hour and I won't understand a single thing he said. Like, literally none of it. It just does not register as speech to me.
Yeah. There's a lot of independent clauses. Like, this is about this. And then by the way, did you see that guy? He was wearing this hat and this, and then back to that point. So it takes a some concentration. And most of the time I do, like, I watched that whole speech. I understood what he said. I loved it. But it's very hard to pull out quotes for it. And you'll see when you read other media writing down his quotes, it doesn't always make sense in context. So best is to let the president speak for himself rather than paraphrase.
Brooke Lanthrop says, I understand him perfectly. Yeah. Barb says, though, I have trouble following him as well. Yeah, I think what I said was probably pretty accurate. I mean, I've interviewed him, I don't know, dozens of times. And like, I'll ask President Trump a question and he would sort of start to answer it. But then he would like go to something else and then he'd kind of come back to it. And then, you know, as a journalist, you're sitting there and it's been a few minutes since you asked the question. You're like, OK, but can we go back to my initial question, which was about this, you know? And but a lot of people don't do that. Because I think because he goes so long that maybe the journalists forget their initial question. Mm-hmm. They just move on from right. it. I don't know.
That's why I asked Philip to run a transcript of that speech. And I was like, there's no declarative sentences yeah. here. A lot of great points, but it's really hard to clip up. So that's why I'd like you to see it for yourself. Then.
Someone said, Ethan says it's higher consciousness. So I guess, Philip, you just need to have higher consciousness to be able to get it.
Also, they're calling you a stutterist. They don't like that you dumped that girl. I'm not sure how I feel about it either.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, it's like, where can you go in a relationship where like, I'm a bad person, but I can't, my brain does not fire in a way that I can understand broken up sentences like that. I just don't.
Philip, you're kind of stuttering a little.
Where was it going to go? I don't know if you
noticed. Yeah, Philip, you're kind of stuttering just a little bit there. I don't know if it's a hiccup in the
Let me speak really clearly for you.
All right, why we text, you guys. That's why we text in this group.
Yeah, we all speak poorly around here. Well, how's this for disgusting? Washington State Democrats are trying to stop ICE officers from doing their job of rounding up violent illegal immigrants and deporting them. Washington Democratic Party, they posted this on their Facebook page. Protect our friends and neighbors from illegal searches and incarceration. If you see ICE activity taking place or any marked vehicles, please report it immediately to the Washington Immigrant Solidarity Network. I would love for you guys all to call this number, by the way. It's right here. They posted it on their Facebook page. It's public. 1-844-724-3737. If you see any ICE activity, they want you to call.
Can you then
know what? Your rights? Do not open a door.
You should just keep sending them to Starbucks. Like, nobody's here.
So they say, know your rights. Do not open the door. ICE warrants authorities may claim to have are not legal to enter your home. ICE warrants must be signed by a local judge to enter your home. If you need legal assistance, call the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. There you go. So illegal searches and arrests, they say? Have they lost their minds? Really? You guys want to talk about what's legal? What's not legal is, of course, breaking into the United States, committing crimes, violence against Americans. Of course, Democrats see these people as future voters, perhaps, so it's their only way of getting votes in the future, I guess. I don't know exactly. ICE released this message in response to this message. Report illegal aliens. It's the law.
That's a foreign concept in some places.
If you would like to report illegal aliens, please call Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They will need to know the names, locations, either workplace or residence, and any other specific information you can provide. So I'm just going to leave this up here for a second. You guys write this down. All of you watching right now, if you happen to see this type of illegal activity in your area, report it. 1-888-DHS-2-ICE.
Now, yeah. Are you the slightest bit uncomfortable, though, of people reporting each other as a throwback to the COVID era? Obviously,
no.
I think you should report all crimes, but not people who appear illegal, who are walking down
the street. I think if you know their illegal status, or if they've committed a crime in your neighborhood, like that's a different...
I'd like to focus on the crime part, right? Whether they're illegal or not, all crimes.
Yeah, no one wants like a socialist world. No one wants a Stalin. No one wants, the secret police in Portugal. No one wants the Sandinistas. No one wants Venezuela. That's in socialist countries, you rely on the secret police, of course, right? To go after people, you report people. That's what a socialist does. But if you see someone committing a crime, they're doing something wrong, and you know that they are here illegally, Yeah, call ICE. Let them know about it. And by the way, they're going to investigate it. They're not just going to come and round somebody up just based on a phone call. You hope. But
we
anyway.
We would hope. Right. Too early to know that, right? So.
But my point is, so what the Facebook post is telling you to do in Washington State is to, you know, try to avoid this. And if you see ICE activity taking place, they want you to report ICE. Okay. It's crazy to think that one of America's major political parties, the Democrats, are encouraging criminals to hide from police and then therefore commit crimes. Democrats, it seems like they love criminals, and they love them back, by the way. So this was yesterday on camera. Reporters went with ICE on some raids across Boston, rounding up MS-13 gang members, as well as others who have committed crimes, murderers, in fact, who have been caught, who have been released. From one guy from Haiti, he was arrested. He yelled out F Trump, and then he said Biden forever, and then he wanted to thank President Obama for everything that he did for him. Watch.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
I would like to point out that Obama was the deporter in chief and started with criminals, too. He deported 3 million people.
So I don't know who he's why is he thanking Obama in that way? But
he would have been deported under the Obama era.
Maybe. But of course, all of the infrastructure that's been put in place under the Biden administration was really just an extension of Obama. So Obama's pulling the strings. The Department of Homeland Security, the infrastructure under the CBP One app that allowed these individuals to come into the United States. So I don't know that Obama can wash his hands of this. Well, I think he was probably secretly running the show here. Go ahead, David.
This guy was probably committing the right crimes that were allowed here. So he was able to stay, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hubris of it. I mean, he is genuinely confused that his criminal activity is no longer legal.
Shocking.
He really is shocked by it.
So yeah. Liberals are really upset about this. CNN's Dana Bash, listen to her when she tries to shame ICE for rounding up criminal illegals and talks to Tom Holman, the new border czar, about it, makes him try to feel bad about it. Listen, yesterday.
You know, I think that there is some kind of image that people might have, given how much we heard President Trump and you in the months during the campaign and certainly during the transition, talking about what's going to happen of people being rounded up, loaded on buses and dropping them off on the border. Is that how you see this happening?
Well, I don't like the analogy of rounding up. Look, again, this is a targeted enforcement operation. The president's been clear on this. We're going to concentrate on public safety threats. But in sanctuary cities, where they don't let us take that public safety threat into custody and the safety and security of a jail, we have to go find him. If he's with others in the country illegally, ICE will not turn the blind eye to that. ICE is going to uphold the oath they took. They're going to enforce the laws enacted by Congress and signed by a president. And they're going to do that without apology. I mean, if any sanctuary cities force us in this position, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, in the Fox News piece that we just showed you, they did a targeted enforcement for someone who did have a criminal record. I believe it was some kind of sex crime. And in the room with him was someone that they also knew was illegal. And they swooped up that guy, too, even though they did not tell us whether or not he had a criminal record. So they said they called it collateral damage, that, you know, there is a consequence to being here illegally, and you will live with that if you are caught in the wrong place.
Isn't that the same as being an accessory to a crime, you know?
No, it's committing your own crime. You are not supposed. You and I were immigrants for 5 years. We knew that we had to have the proper documentation or we did not have the right to be in Europe.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
We lived with that before our documents arrived, acutely knowing we are guests here.
Right.
They have the right to kick us out. We knew that when we moved there, which was why we petitioned for the proper residency.
Stephen Brown says there is a consequence. There is a consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cat named dog says I hide my illegals in the attic. Cat, don't admit that, cat named dog,
okay,
in the chat. Don't
That's
do
also
that.
A crime.
That's
don't
also
do that.
A crime.
Somebody, we showed you the number, call on Catman Dog.
Yeah. Well, overnight, a far-left group used a projector to put a Heil Tesla image on Germany's Berlin Gigafactory. Take a look at that from across the field in Germany. There's a close-up of that. Elon Musk with his arm out like that. Liberal media went into freakout mode after Elon Musk slapped his chest after a speech on Inauguration Day, or kind of during it, when he was overwhelmed and he was thanking everyone in the crowd and shouted, "Thank you. My heart goes out to you." So here was the moment. And then, of course, everyone freaked out about this. They're saying, you know, this was definitely a Heil Hitler sign. Watch.
"And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you. My heart goes out to you. It is thanks to you."
So what do you guys think of that? Well, when Tim Walz did it and other Democrats have done it, like here's Tim Walz doing almost the exact same thing on the campaign trail. "My heart goes out to you," touching his heart, "my heart." There he goes. There.
There's a slight bend in the elbow.
Slight bend in the elbow, like the hand is flat.
It doesn't have the gusto. It's what dancers call marking it, and that's full out. That's full out. So
everyone, of course, you know.
There's been video of Emmanuel Macron doing the exact same thing,
right?
Touching his heart.
Well,
we
all
have
this
copious videos, yeah.
So in Germany, of course, they're freaking out about this. They put this up on the Tesla Gigafactory. Well, Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, had to weigh in on this to kind of put an end to this. And he says, "Elon Musk is being falsely smeared," says Netanyahu. "Elon is a great friend of Israel. He visited Israel after the October 7th massacre, in which Hamas terrorists committed the worst atrocity against the Jewish people since the Holocaust. He has since repeatedly and forcefully supported Israel's right to defend itself against genocidal terrorists and regimes who seek to annihilate the one and only Jewish state. I thank him for this." So I wonder if now CNN and others will back off of this now that Netanyahu has stood up.
Well, they love it. That's the problem. And what's funny is that the Saturday Night Live piece last week over the weekend making fun of MSNBC said, "We're not going to break down every little thing in order to spark outrage this time in Trump administration 2.0. We're going to calm ourselves." And then they just can't. They just absolutely need to cling to this as proof. Now, if he had not denied, I mean, he said that's not what this was. This was, you know, and so if he really wanted to signal any kind of Nazism, any kind of extremism, he would have just stuck with it or excused it. But he's literally said that's not what this is about. So you can interpret it that way. But then which policies do you follow as Nazi?
Yeah, I mean, if someone says, like, "No, I was putting my hand over my heart, just I was excited, you know, I was overwhelmed, and I'm saying thank you from my heart." If someone says that, is that a good enough answer? Like, no, you are definitely a Nazi. You were definitely doing a Hitler salute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, no, but no, I wasn't. I just had my hand over my heart, and I was just throwing it to the audience because it was a massive audience out there, and I'm letting everyone know in the far back seats that I care about you. Like, no, you weren't. You're a Nazi. Okay, no, I was like, what point? Who's right in that situation?
Yeah,
like the person
it's
who's
an unserious.
I always find it. I always get so upset when people like question someone's intentions, right? Because you don't know what's in their head. Like, what was your intention? Was it your intention to do a Heil Hitler,
mm-hmm.
a Sieg Heil?
Yeah,
is that your intention?
I throw the peace sign all the time, and I'm not a hippie, you know.
Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, isn't throwing the peace, you know.
If you turn it the other way in the UK,
the other way, it's a middle finger.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Anyway, all right. You want to do this one?
Do I?
If not. All right. New York continues its woke culture war by changing words in the English language. So Kathy Hochul, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, just announced a new PC term for drug addicts in New York. You're no longer allowed to call them addicts. You're now going to call them a person with a substance abuse disorder.
Okay.
So this was hidden inside of Hochul's new budget proposal on Tuesday. The state is now banning the word addict from all agencies, even though the state agency that's overseeing abuse treatment is called the Office of Addiction Services. I love the irony of all of this, right? So you're going to change the name of the agency now that oversees all of this?
Well, actually, it can be used as a dismantling of the pharmacratic state, because something they try to sell you is that addiction is a disease. It's clearly not. A disease is a cellular malfunction. But they like to sell you no-fault diseases alcoholism, obesity, addiction, as if it's in your blood. And if they, what they have done is then expanded the pharmacratic state and their power to control you. So now I think this is it's almost a tool in your back pocket. If they come to you and say, well, you're mentally unstable and you are now a ward of the state, you can say, no, I'm not. I'm not an addict. It's not a disease. I'm just a person who temporarily has this. I actually like the language because I am very against the no-fault state, the no-fault diseases, addiction as a disease.
Because then, right? Then they can use the pharmaceutical complex to treat it.
Because I vehemently reject the idea of no-fault diseases. It's not a thing. They use it to sell pharmaceuticals.
So Ozempic and other stuff like that.
Exactly like that. And so if you're not an addict, you're a person with a substance abuse, although the word disorder... it's like, is it a temporary state? Then I can do
because
something
how is
about
disorder?
It.
How is disorder any different than like? Then you
it's
have
not
a permanent
a
disorder. Then you have like a permanent. If they're using person with a substance abuse disorder, it's a permanent name. Then right?
You're with it. Can you be without it? I don't know. I would like to think more about this and just think on
disorder.
The fly at this point.
Yeah, disorder is going to allow the pharmaceutical industry to jump in and be like, oh, we have a pill for that for this disorder.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they did with gender dysphoria, is they called it a disordered something like that. I can't remember the terms.
So it makes it worse. Maybe moving to this term, if you call it an addict, then you just break the addiction.
Right.
Right. But if a person with a substance abuse disorder means that now you're opening it up for more pharmacology.
Possibly.
So maybe the inverse of what you're saying.
Let me think on this.
Think about it.
I'm not going to think about it on the fly.
Stops the Cat, thank you for your $2 super chat, says they scrapped the word addict a while ago in social work. Did they really? That's interesting.
You see the sort of what they've been trying to do is destigmatize things. I don't think that's helped us at all because we saw that during the Biden administration. Instead of a homeless person, you are the unhoused.
Right. Here's another one. Yeah. So the culture warriors on the left in the past 2 years, they've created all sorts of new phrases, right, that you need to start using. A birthing person instead of a woman. Or a mother,
yeah.
Person kind instead of rather than mankind, menstruating people, not women.
Yes.
So they are on a mission.
Right.
You know.
I don't think it doesn't really help. So how does it actually help an addict to tell them that this is outside of their control? It doesn't. Obviously.
Indeed. All right. We've got more news to get to. In fact, J.J. Carroll is going to be joining us because of the border battle right now. We understand thousands of American forces are now arriving at the border, and over 20,000 that are currently stationed in Europe could be redeployed inside the United States. Armored vehicles, border walls, border construction, all sorts of things are happening. ICE roundups around the country and thousands. Ryan Mata just a short time ago. Revealing that there's evidence that there's tens of thousands of individuals trying to make it across the northern border in Canada into the United States as we speak before they're able to put these a lot of these pieces in place. So we're going to speak to JJ in just a second. But first, this episode is brought to you by our friends at IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We all need a snack sponsor. I love the almond butter chip bars. My kids love the chocolate mint chip bars. 12 grams of protein. You don't get that sugar crash afterwards. These are easy to throw in a bag, take with you on the go. They satisfy hunger with no sugar crash. Their coffee's fantastic too. Pour it into a hot cup of water, and the IQ Joe is a jitter-free coffee that has natural caffeine, boosts your focus and mood with its magnesium. We all need magnesium, and these things are really fantastic. So you can do it quietly in the morning when no one's awake, no grinding of beans, or just take it with you on the go. Get some hot water, pour it right in there. Start the new year off right with IQ Bar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three of them. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our Redacted listeners an exclusive deal, 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. The ultimate sampler pack is a great way to try all IQ Bars, including their flavors. You get 7 IQ Bars, 4 IQ Mix Sticks, 4 IQ Joe Sticks, and they all gluten, dairy, soy, GMO-free, and artificial sweeteners are free of this stuff. Snack smarter with IQ Bar, more fiber, less sugar and carbs than the alternatives. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus you get free shipping. So to get your 20% off, just text the word redacted to 64,000. 64,000. Text the word redacted to 64,000. That's redacted to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Well, the battle at the border is on fire right now. Thousands of illegal immigrants busting through border checkpoints, clashing with Border Patrol agents and police trying to get into the United States, apparently upset that their CBP One app, you know, that scam app that the Biden administration put in place so people could schedule appointments and basically get direct access right into the United States. Well, it stopped working. And suddenly their appointments were revoked, all by President Trump. Border Czar Tom Holman says it is game on time. Watch.
The last 24 hours, total apprehensions on the southwest border, 766. Compare that to the 10 to 12,000 Biden had at one time. CBP, CBP-1 releases, zero. CHNV, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela releases, zero. Total of 766 across the entire southwest border. That is a game changer.
Well, joining me now is veteran Border Patrol supervisor, author of the great book called Invaded. J.J. Carroll joins me now. 24 years with the Customs and Border Protection. J.J., I mean, just give me your sense of things at a high level over the past 48 hours, what you've seen happen. Of course, you saw the massive disaster of the Biden administration over the past 4 years caused you to write a whole book about the disaster in 48 hours. It seems like everything is changing.
Everything has changed in 48 hours, and Donald Trump is the alpha. He's not one of the alphas in the world. He is the alpha male in the world, and what he has done in 48 hours is shocking, and only he could have done that. I got a text from a higher-level senior agent in San Diego sector, and he said, hey, just want you to know, this was the morning after Donald Trump got sworn in and said everything's changed. No one is allowed to be released, JJ. Nobody, women and children, deported. Men, single adult military age men, deported. Everyone is deported. And if you want to release someone, you have to go to DC and begin to ask permission to get out.
Wow.
Nope. Who in the Border Patrol station is going to call up to sector or DC and to go to the associate of this associate chief and then say, yeah, I want to release somebody. Oh, really? No, everything has changed. A new pursuit policy is going to come to effect. A new use of force policy is coming into effect. But you are right. The powers, the globalist elite, are not going to just bow down to Donald Trump. They're going to try their hardest. And you have desperate people on the South Side that were promised. They made journeys over 7,000 miles to come into to get to America. And now you're telling me I can't come in? Yeah, that's what we're telling you. But they're not going to stop. Would you stop? I wouldn't. I came 7,000 miles. I'm jumping the border. Fight's on.
And that's what we're seeing in these videos. They're coming right through Texas. Maybe you can talk about some of what we're seeing here, you know, in these different videos down in Texas. I think at Eagle Pass and some other spots here, you've seen the videos here. These individuals basically going right through these different checkpoints, but then they're running up to like larger wall doors. What are we seeing here?
So you have a secondary fence. So you have a primary fence, which Donald Trump is trying to erect and bring back, and then have the Trump wall, which is the secondary fence. And you get stuck between that. Sure, if I build a 35-foot wall, you're going to build a 36-foot ladder. That's fine. It takes you a long time to get a 36-foot ladder and run it across the border, put it up, and have you run up, hang on the fence, then get the ladder on the other side. And by then, I'm there. I'm waiting on you. So what is happening is the whole immigration world has changed overnight. You went from, hey, I'm walking in. Those idiots in America are not even going to let me go free. They're going to give me a free plane ticket. They're going to give me thousands of dollars, literally thousands of dollars on a card. They're going to give me new clothes. I'm going to get Medicaid. I'm going to get everything. And they're going to feed me and house me for over 2 years. Oh, great. To present day, you're not allowed in here. And they're all like this. Whoa, wait, I don't understand. Yesterday, my friend Juan got $20,000 in gifts and everything else, and he's in New York City. Yeah, but Juan's going to get his sorry butt's going to be arrested and sent back to Mexico, wherever he came from. That is what's happened. But you have to understand, when you have these clashes of ideologies, and then you have clashes of action, you are going to have a combustible situation, and that's what we're seeing. It's going to take some time, and then it'll kind of smooth out, and everybody will understand this is the new game we're playing now.
I'm wondering from your perspective, I know you've gotten a lot of fights. You've had to draw your gun many times over the years. If you know, you read your book, Invaded, there's some harrowing stories in that book of you and your partners going after these guys. When I see these, like, if I'm there on the border and I'm a Border Patrol agent or, National Guard, and I'm seeing hundreds of illegal immigrants rushing towards me, are they allowed to fire upon them? I know that sounds really harsh, but what's sort of the directive at this point when they're charging into the United States? This is an invasion.
It is an invasion. And if you feel that you have your life is at threat, if someone's carrying a weapon or you're feeling like they're going to charge and run over you, yes, you have your ability to pull your weapon out and shoot, but you don't have 100 rounds. You can't reload that fast. What we're going to have to do is have the barriers put in place. And you're touching on something else that needs to be discussed. We have a complete generation gap problem, a knowledge and experience problem. You have thousands of Border Patrol agents that have never done the job, Clayton. Never. They don't know how to control a crowd. They don't know how to control one person. They don't know how to, they don't have to do their job. They don't know how to track. They don't know how to arrest. They don't even know how to process properly the way that it should be done. They're just catch and release. So we have a intellectual experience gap in the United States Border Patrol, and they got to close that gap fast. Look, we're looking at, you just had 2 days ago on the inauguration day, you had a Border Patrol agent, a seasoned veteran Border Patrol agent, get killed on his job in Vermont. He did a vehicle stop and pulled over two people, and they had body armor, it was a meth and all this other kind of drugs, and they killed him. That is on Joe Biden. You're going to see illegal aliens dying. You're going to see Border Patrol agents getting killed in line of duty and National Guard and Army. Why? Because we have been forced into a world that of insanity, of treason. We have been led by traitors. You just brought in 30 million people into America in 4 years. Why would those millions more just go, it's a policy? In their brain, they're thinking, I don't care. I can still come, right? I can no, you can't. Now we have a fight on our hands. And we're going to see unprecedented numbers of deaths and injuries in the Border Patrol.
Oh, that's awful to think about, right? You've had 4 years of just sort of stand down, like don't even follow the policies. That's crazy to think about. I hadn't thought about that piece of it. I'll get you out of here on this, JJ, which is we're seeing, of course, the pushback from certain sanctuary cities like Denver, Colorado, in fact, and others saying they're going to fight these policies by President Trump. And now you have the Department of Justice saying they're going to investigate, Denver and these other areas that are standing against Tom Holman's policies and President Trump's policies. What are you hearing about that, sort of like the sanctuary city issue in places like Denver, Colorado?
I think that Mayor Johnston is a beta male, and he threw down a weak gauntlet, and that is going to be a challenge to Tom Holman, and Tom Holman's going to steamroll him. He's just going to send more agents down there. Like he said today, you don't want me to send 50 agents? I'm sending 500 agents down there, and I'm going to destroy your city. And a bigger question needs to be asked, Clayton. Why are you protecting criminals in your country,
right,
in your city, while your city of Denver just gave 20,000 appointments, medical appointments to illegal aliens? Your medical facilities have crumbled in Denver. Denver, you're cutting out all your recreational hours. You're cutting your police force, your fire force. You're cutting library time. You're cutting everything. Why? To help illegal aliens? That's how upside down our world is. And we need to call out these people. And I will promise you, that gutless little twit, Mayor Johnston in Denver, good luck, buddy. All I'm asking for, he's done. And what I want, Clayton, is very simple. I want this to be a pay-per-view event. I want to pay $49.99 to see Tom Holman and his agents come into Denver and take over. As Mayor Johnston says, you've never seen someone willing to fight more than a Highland mom. Okay. You're going to throw your moms in the front lines of Tom Holman and the agents. Good luck. I just want on pay-per-view. That's all I care about.
get your supporters at Tren de Aragua from Venezuela to come help you out, Mr. Mayor. Because, yeah, I mean, and you, oh, it's going to be a disaster. And it has been a disaster in cities like Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, and others. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly saw what Eric Adams in New York City has had to deal with and what he's now confessing about to Tucker Carlson in a pretty bombshell interview as well. I guess we're going to see a lot of fireworks, I guess, over the next few months as this unfolds. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see where this goes. J.J. Carroll has been on the front lines of this story, educating all of us about this disaster under the Biden administration for the past couple of years. And hopefully the tide has turned. J.J., great to see you as always.
Thank you, Clayton. Have a great day.
I appreciate it. I love the idea. Excuse me. I love the idea of a pay-per-view event. I would watch that. Tom Holman and his border agents coming to town.
It already has been a pay-per-view event in Aurora, Colorado, where we see these migrants kidnapping people off the streets, taking them into their apartment to stab them just a little bit, just a little stabbing.
Yeah.
Right. Taking breaking into houses in 6 a.m. shooting people like. Start there. We will all gladly applaud those people being taken out of our communities. And you wonder, how are they moving so fast? It's only been 3 days of the Trump administration. Well, it's because ICE in September released a report that we showed you here admitting that they knew of over 650,000 criminals that were illegals and had detained a measly 2%. They've known all along. So you think, wait, the Biden administration has just been leaving these people here? Yes, in fact, they were. They were doing exactly that.
Well, indeed, they have.
Those two guys on that list that were the antitrust guys. I remember that seeing that list of like all the criminals. There were two illegal immigrants that they knew of antitrust violations. I was like, I hope they got those guys. I've been worried about them being out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot about that. That was great. Okay, seek that piece out. We did in September when we went over that list. All right, before we let you go for the day, and we will see you on Monday. Don't forget, we have content all throughout the weekend on the channel, so stay subscribed, stay tuned. But first, we want to remind you that our show is brought to you by Hillsdale College, because if one of your New Year's resolutions was just to become more educated, speak more in an educated way about certain topics, where Hillsdale College is the place to start. They have more than 40 free online courses. That's right, 40 free online courses, such as the work of C.S. Lewis, the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, which is great because we're about to get many constitutional battles between the Trump administration and several state attorneys general. What about the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, history of Christian church? All of that is free and more. So we encourage you to check it out because it's a great way, again, to educate yourself and be able to speak about these things as these topics heat up. And especially if you're a political junkie, which you must be if you've made it this far in the show. So head on over to hillsdale.edu/redacted and sign up and start your free online course today. One more time, that's hillsdale.edu/redacted.
My son just got home from school and he texted me a picture of a giant Snickers bar that was in my Christmas stocking.
Yeah,
that Santa brought me. And he said, are you going to eat this or can I? And I said, you can have it.
It has been 23 days,
yeah,
or more than that since your Christmas
time. So that means the kids are home from school. The show is over. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We will be back. Of course, we have content for you and special interviews actually this weekend coming out that we want you to watch. So please subscribe to our channel and you'll get those interviews this weekend, especially. And we'll be back live 4 p.m. Eastern time on Monday right here on Redacted. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend. I'm going to go see about this Snickers bar.
Wrestling for it.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.